The text is from John chapter 7. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Here ends our text. Pentecost is the festival that marks the ascended Jesus pouring out the Holy Spirit on his church to give him to the world. There are such contrasting metaphors connected with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is fire. The Spirit is water. This year, he's water. Cool, clear water. To appreciate water, you need to know thirst. Luther said, unless the word is preached to the thirsty, it is more despised than accepted. Do you appreciate thirst? You people should. Even though the Austin area has an average annual rainfall around 32 inches, any given year we might get half of that. You know what it means for the land to be thirsty for water. You've heard the grass crackling under your feet. You've seen huge trees with dusty leaves and drooping limbs weeping for water. You've seen ponds dry up and water run away from the banks of Lake Travis. You know a thirsty land. You personally know thirst as well. How many of you have been in the hospital dried out by medication and a lack of fluids, thirsting for the tiniest amount of cool, clear water? You've worked outside on a hot, humid day and found yourself dehydrated. You've gone Christmas caroling, and even in the cold, how thirsty you became. You appreciate thirst personally. Now translate physical thirst into religious terms. Stand with Ezekiel in the valley and see the bones that are very dry. Lament with the sons of Korah in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Cry with David in Psalm 32, that your sins have left you parched. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Luther describes a thirsty soul this way: distressed, wretched, terrified, an aroused conscience, a despondent and frightened heart, which longs to know on what terms it is with God. Are you thirsty for the cool, clear waters of God? You appreciate physical thirst, but you appreciate it what it means to have an abundance of water. This may be hard for you if you're from here. When you think abundance of water, you think flood, destruction, too much water. Austin's average rainfall may be around 32 inches, but in September 1921, 15 of those inches fell in 24 hours. When you hear abundance of water, I don't want you to think flood, but well watered. Think of a land where there are no wet weather creeks, but year-round creeks. Think of a land where there's no such oxymoron as dry creek. No, every creek is a stream of clear, cool water, and every creek has fish in it. The ground doesn't crack for lack of rain, and the trees don't weep for water, but they bud, they grow, and they spread their limbs heavy with deep green leaves. That's a land with an abundance of water. You might not know that land, but you personally know what it means to have plenty of cool, clear water. Don't think of water fountains on every corner. Think of always having a water bottle with you. Or perhaps better yet, think of those camel packs that bicyclists wear on their backs. At the slightest hint of thirst, the water is right there for the drinking. now translate having an abundance of water to religion. You know those times when your soul feels dusty and dry, when prayers to God taste like ashes. An abundance of spiritual water washes away the dusty ashes. You know when you feel like your sins have dried you out, plenty of God's cool, clear water makes your skin pink, plump, and loose. An abundance of spiritual water is Eden, out of which a river flowed big enough to branch out and form four more. In Eden is an abundance of water where there was no destructive rain, but a mist came up from the ground to water everything. Eden is where God walked with man. You know thirst, you know abundance. You'll take abundance. But where does clear, cool water flow from? Here, misreading this text can plunge you into deep water out of which you will not get. If you only hear the promise of Jesus, streams of living water will flow from within, welcome to the world's religion. Religious truth, power, certainty comes from within you. Look inside, drill deep inside within you for the water of life. But if you put the emphasis on whoever believes in me, welcome to the faith healers, welcome to Disney movies, welcome to the power of positive thinking. Your believing makes the Spirit flow within you. Well, you try that on a well gone dry. Try that on an empty water bottle. Try that on a withered tree. See if by believing you can make a well wet, a bottle full, or tree water. The cool, clear water that you need to be rescued from the valley of dry bones starts with Jesus. John's gospel, the gospel of water, shows this. Only John tells you Jesus made water into wine. Only John tells you that Jesus told Nicodemus he must be born again by water and the Spirit. Only John tells you that Jesus promised to give the woman at the well living water. Only John tells you that Jesus healed a man by his word who wasn't healed by the water of Bethesda. Only John has our text with Jesus at the feast, which centered on a solemn pouring out of water on the last great day. Only John tells you Jesus poured out water to wash the disciples' feet, and only John tells you that water came out of Jesus' pierced side. Water does great things in the Gospel of John, but it's not the water itself doing it, but Jesus. He makes water wine, makes water living, makes water full of the Spirit, healing and cleansing, all by his word. As the man at the pool of Bethesda shows, water without the word of Jesus does nothing. The word of Jesus is what really counts, and wherever he joins his word to becomes powerful, forgiving, living. Whether that is bread and wine, whether that's a man's voice, whether that's the water of a baptismal font. The person and the work of Jesus are what makes water Spirit-filled and saving to fallen man. Apart from Jesus, water from God floods, roars, and thunders. It drowns, it frightens, it threatens. Go down to the Mansfield Dam at flood stage. Do you want anything to do with that mighty rush of water? Would you want it diverted to your home? Would you want it for your garden? Would you want it for your neighborhood? No. But that flooding, roaring, thundering stream is where the water in your faucet comes from, which is usable for drinking, watering, washing. Jesus is the faucet. As true God, Jesus always had the Holy Spirit, but as true man, Jesus received the Spirit. At his baptism, he was anointed with the Spirit. Then he lived a perfect life, so that there was no reason for the Spirit to leave him as he had us dry, dead bones. The lustful thoughts that you can't go a day without, Jesus never had. The worried thoughts that plague you, the unbelief you know well, the apathy for things spiritual, Jesus never had. Oh, he was tempted by them all, but unlike you, he never sinned. As true man, Jesus was given the Spirit and never sinned against him, driving him out as he wants, and he wants to give you dry, dusty, dead bones, his Spirit. But how can he? You're dead in your transgressions and sins, and no dove lands on dead bodies. Dead bodies, you know, are for vultures. The Spirit landed on Jesus, and he won the right to give dried up sinners like us the Spirit. He won that right by satisfying God's wrath against us. He died as a man without the Spirit should die. He died tortured by man and abandoned by God. John, the water gospel, is the only one that records Jesus saying, "I thirst." Jesus died as you should, sinner, thirsty, so he might pour out on you the Spirit as water. Wait a minute. How do we go from talking about a lack of water to talking about abundance of water to talking about the Spirit? We simply followed the path Jesus took in our text. John relates it that way. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, you're thirsty, aren't you? Dried up by your sins, parched from your lust, withered from lack of water. Then John tells us, Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Jesus says he has plenty of water for you. He won a flood of forgiveness to wash away the most stubborn of sins. From the cross flowed enough water to give drink to a whole world of parched ground. Just one drop of his water brings back not just a withered tree, but a dead one. But still, how do we get from water to the Spirit? Jesus says he is drink for the thirsty. Then he goes on to say, whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from within him. Then John explains, by this he meant the Spirit. From thirst to clear, cool water to the Spirit. As lack of water kills physical life, so lack of the Spirit kills spiritual life. As too much water drowns physical life, so too much Spirit kills spiritual life. You get too much Spirit when you try to get him apart from Jesus. That's like trying to get a drink from a floodgate of the Mansfield Dam. The only safe place to drink the Spirit is through Jesus, the faucet. But what's this about those who get the Spirit from Jesus having the Spirit stream from within them? Well, haven't you ever seen what rain does to a dry garden? Don't you know how a drink can revive a dehydrated person? If a safe amount of water can't but cause a garden to produce, if the right amount of water can't but revive a thirsty man, how much more will the Spirit from Jesus do in us? From a man forgiven by Jesus flows the Spirit of forgiveness. From a woman brought to life by Jesus flows the Spirit of life. Jesus did not win guilt, but forgiveness. Jesus did not win worry, but faith. He didn't win lust, but love. He didn't win sadness, but joy. So what Jesus gives by word and sacraments to eye, ear, hand, mouth, nose, and faith is the Spirit of forgiveness, not guilt. He gives the Spirit of faith, not worry. He gives the Spirit of love, not lust. He gives the Spirit of joy, not sadness. And this cool, clear, living water streams from us for others, parched by guilt, dried up by worry, withered by lust, and dried out by sadness. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and a life everlasting. Amen.